live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks.
All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Janky Rannick is sparing with you guys. I am, in fact, back. I went to Yosemite, and I did some Yosemites. We'll talk a little bit about it in the postgame. We'll talk a little bit about it, or maybe a lot about it, in the next episode of Old School. Anna, how you been?
I'm good. Good. Actually, no, it's been terrible. Everything's been pretty awful, but I'm hanging in there. Just keeping it real.
Sounds about right. Yeah. I got good news, I got bad news. The bad news, again, we'll touch on all these as quickly as we can, and both in the post game and probably in the next episode of Old School. I had people come in to fix my internet here today. Man, whatever little hair I have left on this European soccer star head of mine, I nearly pulled out. Any experience with like cable guys, internet guys these days is just so frustrating. Good news is a lot. So as we were leaving the Yosemites, my nephew showed me a video from TikTok that brought back an old lyric that Mystical spat out at one point. And it was, if you see me fighting a grizzly bear in the forest, help the bear, help the bear. The bitch gonna need.
Okay. It's a good one. I like that.
Yes, that's, and I was like, that should be my theme song. So now, speaking of that, first of all, the rebellion arrives later this week. What is that? You'll see. You'll see. It'll be fun. Well, speaking of later this week, on Tuesday, the future arrives. We're going to have a discussion about the future. Andrew Yang is going to join us. Dolores Huerta is going to join us. Derek Johnson, Nobi Prince, Nicholas Thompson, Tiwa Chang, Tamara Tolos O'Loughlin, Dr. Jutani. What does the future look like? We're going to figure it out. That's tomorrow night right here at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. That's a great, great special we have for you guys. Don't miss that. I'll be heading that up. Okay, and so now, having said all that, let me get to our first story, which is a little bit, no, a lot about us. And then we've got a great show for you guys with a ton of devastating stories, as usual these days. Okay, so recently we applied to get press passes to the RNC and DNC, as we do every 4 years. The Young Turks has been going since 2004. Some of our most interesting interviews, including with Grover Norquist and Joe Crowley before he was defeated, and I can go on and on, have happened at these conventions. The DNC this time around denied us a press pass. Now, on the one hand, if we're keeping it real, I get it, right? It's coronavirus days and the numbers are limited, so they want to limit the press. And if you only heard that excuse, you'd think, well, obviously they're going to give it to the CNNs of the world. And that's it. No, actually, they pass it off to the Congressional Press Gallery, and they're saying, I got nothing to do with it, man. It's just people who are approved for that. But wait a minute, the people who are approved for that, number one, are a range of folks, including very, very conservative news outlets, Fox News, obviously, but also folks like the Daily Caller, started by Tucker Carlson. So now, do you think the RNC is just going to say, hey, you know what? Why don't we let a bunch of progressive outlets cover this, but not right-wing outlets? Now, the RNC would never do that, right? But the DNC is like, sure, yeah, Tucker Carlson, both your old website and your current show, everybody come, right wingers, come. But the largest progressive news outlet, no thank you. So I'm going to give you context on that in a second. But first, you know, I was heartened by the reaction online, which is not a sentence often spoken. But Brent Welder, who's a former Just Democratic candidate and who is a really important part of the Rules Committee, who's was fantastic in fighting back on this, Nomiki Konst and so many others chimed in here. But Brent had these tweets. He said, how phenomenally stupid of the Joe Biden campaign and the DNC to deny convention press credentials to the Young Turks. So stupid. And he followed up by saying, but I'm sure Fox News will get all the passes it wants. And of course, that is true. And they will get those passes. So now you say, look, I don't know if we can let every progressive Tom, Dick, and Harry in. First of all, the Republicans bring in people like Diamond and Silk, who have three followers and are totally made up. And so they will let anyone in. They'll let lunatic people in. Now, on our side, we have very established progressive news outlets. And the DNC is like, what are those? I don't know. Well, I wouldn't know a progressive if it hit me across the face. By the way, it did. Cori Bush hit you across the face earlier, about a week ago. Okay, so you're going to get to know us real, real soon. Jamal Bowman and many others. Anyways, but we're not every Tom and Dick and Harry. Now, look, there's a lot of different metrics. There's television, there's your own websites, etc. But a giant, giant metric is how you do on social media. And that's the future, that's the present, et cetera. So I want to show you something that you might not see all the time. And no one in Washington has apparently ever heard of digital media. I mean, Jesus Christ, it's the year 2020. So how do we stack up against the big boys? I mean, are we like a fringe little outlet? And, you know, I don't know, maybe in a couple of years you guys will get a press pass. Or no, let me show you the rankings. Hey, look at that. TYT with 552 million views. Now, wait a minute. Is that our account? No, that's Tubular rankings. Is that over the last year? No, that's just June. That's half a billion views. But how do we do against the other guys? Fox News, not bad. Almost kept up with TYT, 507 million views. CNN, 416 million views. MSNBC, so sad. 228 million views, not even half of the views of TYT. Could you imagine if the DNC said, no, we're not letting a small little outlets like MSNBC in? Now, no, of course not. They're filled to the rim with ex-Republicans and very, very, very conservative Democrats. So they're like, MSNBC, come on in, red carpet. Young Turks, oh, you're larger than all of them online. Nope, I don't know what you're talking about, nope. So for God's sake, man, it gets some sense. If you're trying to reach out to progressives, I literally cannot imagine a worse way of doing this. And the reality is, of course, they're not reaching out to progressives. And the establishment Democrats, including the people who control the party, still either have disdain or loathing for all of us. And this is one of the many ways that they show it. Look, we were going to do a petition to get you guys to demand that we let be, but there's only a week left. It's next week, so it's too late. And you know, they're down to a virtual convention at this point. Anyway, it is the principle of the matter, guys. And how they treat progressives both politically and in media, it shows you their disdain for all of us, and it's unbearable. But like I said, look, I'm overall incredibly encouraged, because whether they like us or not, we're here. So if you thought Squad 1.0 was good, wait till you get a load of Cori Bush and Jamal Bowman, let alone Marie Newman, let alone Mondaire Jones, let alone so many other progressives coming to Congress. So DNC might not like it, but we're coming for them, one way or another. All right, Anna.
All right, let's get to the news. So, as we all know, Congress has failed to come up with the latest version of financial relief for Americans during the pandemic. So over the weekend, Donald Trump signed an executive order. And yes, there are some questions about the constitutionality of this executive order. But nonetheless, he has, in his mind, provided a stimulus for Americans because Congress has failed to do so. Now, Democrats have already made it clear that they're not likely to challenge this in the courts, but here's what we know about the executive order so far. So if you look at it closely, you look at the reading, you'll see that it actually does not provide the economic relief that the vast majority of Americans need. But Trump described the memorandum as an action providing an additional or extra $400 a week and expanded benefits. But under Trump's measure, the federal government is requiring states to pick up the tab for $100 of the $400 additional benefit each person may be able to receive. On top of that, a state must agree to enter into this financial agreement with the federal government for any unemployed person living there to get any of the additional benefits. So it appears that he's gonna make it increasingly difficult for people to actually qualify for this federal aid. But more importantly, Trump is saying that it's gonna be $400 only if the state picks up 100 of that $400. Now here's the issue. Many states right now are struggling financially. The previous stimulus bill did not offer any type of financial relief to the states. Republicans actually fought against that aggressively and successfully. And so without the proper funding for states, this economic relief is definitely gonna run into quite a bit of trouble. So states have asked Congress, by the way, to provide them with an additional $500 billion to help shore up their budgets, which have been crushed by the loss of tax revenue amid the pandemic. Because as you guys know, tens of millions of Americans have been unemployed and continue to be unemployed. There is also no moratorium on evictions. Even though Donald Trump is verbally saying that there is, in reality, there is not. The way that this executive order is written makes it clear that states should look at the situation and decide whether or not it makes sense to extend the moratorium in their state. On the conviction moratorium, the new measure only states that the Secretary of Health and Human Services and the Director of the CDC shall consider whether any measures temporarily halting residential evictions of any tenants for failure to pay rent are reasonably necessary to prevent further spread of COVID-19. Now, Cenk, we know the details because it's our job. It's our job to read the details, to understand the details. And so we know that this type of executive order is not actually going to do what we desperately need it to do, which is provide economic relief to average Americans, make sure that states have the funding that they need, make sure that people are protected from getting evicted. But if you read the headlines over the weekend, nothing in those headlines indicates that Donald Trump is not going to follow through on what he's promising, right? The headlines make it appear as though Congress failed, and look at Donald Trump, how courageous. He signed an executive order to provide financial relief to Americans. And I think that honestly, it's a political winner for him, unless he really does fail to follow through on at least some of this and provide some unemployment relief to Americans.
So look, even when I read the headlines, I thought, oh, well, you know, let's take a look. I mean, that's pretty cool that he's thinking about evictions and he's thinking about student debt. And on the student debt, that one's a little bit more real. So we always give credit where credit is due. But when you look at the details, it's actually even a little bit worse than Anna just explained. Let me give you a quote from Donald Trump on the issue of unemployment. When Donald Trump was asked about it over the weekend, he said, "We have a system where we can do 100% or we can do 75%, they pay 25. And it will depend on the state," he said. And they will make an application, we will look at it and we'll make a decision. So what does that mean? That means if you are an ass kisser and you come from a red state, I'll give it to you. But you come from a blue state, I'm gonna punish you and I'm not gonna give it to you. So that's what he's done historically. That's what he's basically threatening to do here. In other words, it's politics on top of politics, and it has nothing to do with helping the American people. It has everything to do with helping his political career. He gets big headlines saying, "I'm here to help you on unemployment." Then he turns around and says, unless you come from what he considers to be a liberal or progressive state, in which case, no, we're not gonna help you. And by the way, in the red states, it might all be theatrics anyway, as Anna explained. Speaking of theatrics, when you go to evictions, it's nothing but theatrics. So he directed the Secretary of Health and Human Services and Director of the CDC to consider whether any measures should be taken. And then you gotta go through an application. It's that never gonna happen. It's never gonna happen. It's a one big giant lie as usual from Donald Trump.
Right, absolutely. And also, look, just quickly going back to Trump playing favoritism with states in regard to the unemployment funds. Remember, he is suffering significantly right now in the polls. And so if there's a swing state that he can provide maybe some more economic relief to, I really think that that's part of the political motivation behind what he's doing here with the executive order. I also want to just quickly talk about the payroll tax cut, because it has been presented by Donald Trump and his lackeys as a true payroll tax cut. Now, if you're unemployed, this doesn't matter. This doesn't apply to you anyway. But if you are unemployed, understand that the payroll tax cut is not actually a payroll tax cut. So the payroll tax measure does not actually reduce the payroll taxes. It defers the due date for the portion of those taxes paid by employees, 6.2% for Social Security and 1.45% for Medicare through December 31st. It applies to workers whose wages are less than about $104,000 a year. Payroll taxes would just have been delayed to the end of the deferment period. Companies may not want to stop withholding their employees' share of the taxes from their paychecks for that reason. And that's actually very good advice, because as soon as that payroll tax or deferment period ends, then workers are going to have to pay quite a bit more in their taxes because those taxes were deferred. I mean, it's terrible. It's ridiculous. It's definitely a political move by Donald Trump. And luckily, some reporters did ask him some tough questions. So, Cenk, I want to go to this next video because it shows how he couldn't really handle the heat and abruptly ended an interview or a press conference after getting a bunch of specific questions about this executive order.
This is expected to be tied up in the court. So this relief is either going to be delayed or blocked.
Well, definitely. I think this is going to go very rapidly through the courts. This will go very, if we get sued, maybe we won't get sued. If we get sued, it's somebody that doesn't want people to get money. Okay, and that's not going to be a very popular thing.
Go around Congress. Are you trying to set a new precedent that the president can go around Congress and decide how much?
You ever hear the word obstruction? They've obstructed. Congress has obstructed. The Democrats have obstructed people from getting desperately needed money. Go ahead, please, right here.
President, why do you keep saying that you passed Veterans Choice? It was passed in 2014.
Okay, excuse me. Go ahead, please.
But it's a false statement, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you very much.
And just to be clear, the people clapping are not reporters. There were apparently individuals who actually pay a lot of money to attend his press briefings once every 6 months. So those were his actual supporters and fans.
Yeah, look, if you watch the Axios interview of him, I mean, he's a clown in every way, shape and form. But the I can't believe he has anybody who still follows him and they pay to follow him. They're just so the saddest people in America. Now, to the question that she asked, she said, well, why do you keep saying that you passed this thing that actually passed in 2014? That's when he walked out. Because he's a liar. He's a pathological liar. He takes credit for things that are not remotely true. He keeps saying that he's the best president for African Americans since Lincoln. Sometimes he says he's better than Lincoln. I mean, Axios challenged him on, wait, you're better than Lyndon Johnson? He passed the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act. He's like, oh, I don't know. People have questions about it. Nobody has questions about the Civil Rights Act. So he can't answer a real question. He's a buffoon of extraordinary proportions. Now, when it comes to the payroll tax, why just defer it to the end of the year? How much does that really help? Oh, November 3rd is before the end of the year. So I'll make it seem like I'm helping you until the election, and then bam-o, after the election, I'll hit you with the whole bill. And that's how this game is played. And in terms of the executive order overall, look, this is not how the American government is supposed to work. So Bush started this nonsense. Obama continued it, called out both of them when they were presidents. And now Trump is taking it to an absurd extreme. I'm not going to negotiate with Congress. I'm just going to do nonsensical things, most of which I can't execute. It's all political theater. But even if I could execute some of it, who cares? Congress has to pass the law. Of course Congress has to pass a law about the payroll tax. Of course they do, right? He's like, I don't care. I want to be king. And if you make this incredibly stupid mistake of reelecting me, I will be. He constantly trolls and puts out videos of how he's going to be president for the next 100 years. Like, haha, I don't care about democracy. I never cared about Congress passing the bills, and I probably won't leave if you reelect me. And maybe even if you don't reelect me. So that's where we are today.
When we come back from the break, I think one of the best pieces of video that's come out of all of this is Larry Kudlow, Donald Trump's chief economic advisor, not knowing any of the details of this executive order. We have those videos and more when we return.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. Featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. You guys know that you could win a free electric scooter, right? Because that's our two awesome sponsors, Aspiration and Zoom Electric. They're making it possible. You got to go to tyt.com/greensummer for your chance to win. Only new account signups qualify. But if you already have an account, you can still refer friends for your chance to win. So it's pretty cool. Check it out at tyt.com/greensummer. Okay. Now I want to read some of your comments, and let's start with our members as usual. Mr. Lumberg says, "Welcome back, Cenk. That means fewer of Anna's awesome guest hosts, but it's good to see you anyways." A little wink emoji. But I love that. I love our guest hosts. So I'm glad you guys got a chance to spend some time with them, and we're going to give you hopefully more and more chances to see them. Don't Sheep the Issue says, "Hey, TYT, I had a stressful day of prepping for the new school year as an elementary school employee, so I decided to enjoy some edibles in my new press-on shirt and keep my sanity by pressing on and try to stay safe." God bless, brother. Okay. So the press on shirt you get, of course, you gave $127 or more to tyt.com/go. In fact, I haven't seen that thermometer in a while, and it is a new month for me. So let's check it out and see how we're doing there. $46,024. So you guys are awesome. Let's keep it going. Let's press on, edibles or otherwise. Okay. By the way, do not give impaired. Okay, make sure you're doing rational things for your family first, and then if you can, for good causes. So tyt.com/go. Okay, Gabby Morita says, "The DNC treats progressives the same way that Trump treats COVID-19. They think that if they just ignore something, it'll go away on its own. That's literally the opposite of how it works." As usual, a great comment from Gabby. And then finally, I want to give some shout outs to folks on Twitch. Obi Mom Kenobi, as usual, absolutely killing it. Gifted 11 subs to viewers. So go grab those if you're watching our Twitch. That's her 365th gift of subs to our channel on Twitch. Much love. Ooh. I know, right? Null Unit 40 resub for their second month after tier three, which is awesome. Ancient Wisdom 22 resub for their second month and gifted a sub to Francesca Fiorentino, which is awesome. Ironman 42 just donated 1,000 bits. So you guys are all wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We appreciate it. Thank you for watching on Twitch. And I got a great Between Me and Uyghur coming up on Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern with Maz Jobrani. So check that out. It's going to be super fun. My kids are big fans because he's in Descendants. So we'll talk about that too. All right, Anna, what's next?
All right. Donald Trump passed a stimulus through executive order. And we talked about earlier, the executive order doesn't actually provide the economic relief that Americans desperately need in the middle of this pandemic. But one of the people who doesn't seem to know much about Donald Trump's own executive order is his own chief economic advisor, Larry Kudlow. Let's take a look.
For $100 add on, we will put on $300.
What makes you think that states have that $100 a week per person who is unemployed in their state to even put into this potential pot of money?
Well, I think they'll be able to make room. Our estimates from the Treasury Department in terms of the CARES Act One was that the states have not spent all the money that was allocated to them. Based on our estimates, the states will be able to provide the extra $100, and that will gross up the whole benefit to something on average of about
$800. Have you checked with the states how many of the 50 states and D.C. and other territories say that they are going to be able to pony up $100 a week per unemployed citizen?
Yeah, good question. We'll probably find that out, you know, today and tomorrow as we make our canvas. We've been in touch with them. We have very good records coming out of the Treasury Department, but we will be in touch with them.
So you don't know. So you don't know yet. The president didn't know the answer to that before he made his announcement.
Well, look, at the moment, we know the money.
The CARES Act provided no money to the states. None. Just wanted to make that clarification since Larry Kudlow made it seem as though that stimulus bill provided relief to the states. It did not. And Larry Kudlow not only lied, he obviously has no idea what's going on with this executive order. Cenk, we have one more video, but I want to hear your thoughts before we go to it.
Yeah. So Donald Trump did something while completely unprepared without doing any homework. No. Say it ain't so, Larry. Of course, Donald Trump has no idea which states can afford it and can't, and he doesn't care. Like we talked about earlier in the show, he's either just going to give it to the red states, and that's why he says, well, look, some states will give 100% to you if you're good boys and your governors kiss my ass. And some states we won't, and I didn't bother checking on which ones can afford it or not. And as Anna pointed out, he might just give it to the swing states to try to win re-election. I mean, he's just so crass and obvious.
Yeah, he is. And by the way, one other thing I wanted to note about the executive order. As I mentioned earlier, the payroll tax cut is not actually a tax cut. He is deferring payroll taxes until the beginning of next year. So if you're an employee who notices a payroll tax cut, just know that you're going to be expected to pay for that later down the line. But he said in his executive order that he might forgive those taxes if he gets reelected. So it's definitely a political move, 100%. And it doesn't actually offer the financial relief that ordinary Americans desperately need right now. With that said, though, I do want to go to one more clip featuring Larry Kudlow, just stumbling and bumbling because he has no idea what the hell is going on.
I want to remind you of something that you said about this kind of move just this past week. Listen.
We got to fix and extend the unemployment issue right now. I don't know. I don't think that can be done administratively. I think that requires an act of Congress.
So the whole question of whether there's the money for this to work is one. But what even you yourself said is whether it's even legal. Do you think it is?
Well, I'm not the lawyer, and I probably spoke out of turn there because I worked all week with our counsel's office, and they proved to me that we could use the Stafford Emergency Act and that we could repurpose funds to do that. So I probably shouldn't have said that. The president decided to take action on his own. Of course, I think he was right to do so.
I love when journalists do journalism. It's so fun to watch. That was incredible. That's what you do. You bring back the SOT where Larry Kudlow says something completely counter to what the administration is currently doing. They're just completely full of it. But the fact of the matter is, it's unlikely that Democrats are going to take Trump to court over this executive order. The question is, will Congress get its act together and actually pass a robust new stimulus bill? And honestly, I lose hope every day for obvious reasons.
Yeah. So look, first you got the classic, I'm so sorry for being right earlier. Of course, Donald Trump is now correct in whatever he made up yesterday. I've been working with lawyers all week. Reminds me of that.
Leeds.
Yeah, exactly. From the Big Lebowski. Yeah, Leeds. It got us working around the clock on it. So yeah, let me summarize for you guys. Donald Trump checked with zero lawyers. He just ran out on his own. All right, number two, I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that Donald Trump is saying at best you will get $400 in this semi-illegal move if I decide to give it to your state and your state has money. And remember though, that's not the $600 that people were getting before. And the people he's negotiating with in that regard is the Democrats want it to be higher. Mitch McConnell wants it to be zero. So he's also negotiating with the Republicans. So the one good thing here is he undercut Mitch McConnell, who's like, unemployed people are bums. They should, if we're giving them the wrong incentives. You're driving back to the mines, right? So when Trump goes, I don't know, let's give him $400, kind of. Well, now Mitch McConnell can't say anymore we should give him zero. So there is one benefit from this that we should be cognizant of. But again, it's only 2/3 of what it was before. So it's not like he's increased it, he's decreased it in a best case scenario. Finally, just a note on journalism. I love to see journalists doing what I think is relatively elementary, holding these people to account with their own words, et cetera. But I'm thrilled to see it. But will they continue to have that standard if Biden wins and there's a Biden administration? My guess is they will head right back into the cave and hold no one in that administration accountable. They had plenty of opportunity to hold Biden accountable during the primary, and they absolutely positively refused to do so. So it's a nice little window into how journalism should be done that we get for a brief period of time. And then if and hopefully when Trump leaves, it'll probably disappear.
Yeah, I mean, look, over the weekend, CNN was showing off Biden's bicycle riding skills. So we know what to expect. Let's talk a little bit about the pathetic response coming from Democrats in response to this executive bill. So Congress has in fact failed to pass the next round of stimulus, providing financial relief to ordinary Americans who are suffering as a result of this pandemic. But if you're worried about, you know, how they failed and, you know, maybe because of Trump's executive order, you think they're going to get their act together. Democrats are going to fight. They're going to finally prove themselves as the opposition party. Not so fast, because while you might not be able to pay your bills, House leadership, Nancy Pelosi specifically, will pray for you. And that's what we got on not one, but two cable news shows over the weekend. Here she is.
I always like to focus on the children. In our bill, we have tens of billions of dollars to address the hunger needs in our country, which are there normally, but exacerbated during the pandemic. We have tens of billions of dollars. They have $250,000. So do they care? You know, I have a prayer that I say, let's pray for those who are hungry. Let's pray harder for those who will not feed them.
Now, what was interesting in that interview was that she, you know, she talks about hungry children, and she's not specifically talking about expanding SNAP benefits in order to help people during the pandemic. What she was referring to was the disagreement among Democrats and Republicans in Congress on the issue of funding states. Now, states are strapped for cash because people aren't working right now. People are unable to pay taxes. And so they've needed some financial relief from Congress, but Republicans refuse to do it. What's interesting about Nancy Pelosi specifically is when the CARES Act had passed, she was talking to Jake Tapper, for instance. That was one of the interviews I remember. And Jake Tapper asked, hey, what about the funding for states? Because the CARES Act doesn't appear to have any funding that the states desperately need. And Nancy Pelosi's response was something in the lines of, calm down, we'll get there, right? Just totally dismissing the importance of funding the states. And I find it hilarious that in the context of this interview, all of a sudden she's like, we're not able to pass anything because we're, you know, we have been demanding that states get the funding that they needed. Okay, but you haven't. In fact, you told people to calm down when they were stressed out about it. Also, I don't, no one needs your prayers. Maybe some people like it, maybe it's a nice cherry on top, but it doesn't go far enough, not even close enough to helping people with a real material need that they have right now. We have another video, but Cenk, jump in.
Yeah, so a couple of different issues here. So first off, look, the House's bill is infinitely better than the Republicans, requests on this in the Senate. So credit where credit is due. So they have the right legislation right now for this latest version of stimulating the economy and helping the American people. But optics matters when it comes to being able to pass that piece of legislation. And the way that you do that is by putting pressure on the other side. And her optics just suck. So when you listen to the Washington media, they gaslight you all the time. They tell you, almost every one of them tells you that Nancy Pelosi is a master legislator. Now, who dubbed her a master legislator? Pelosi, she called herself that. And everybody in the media repeats it with absolutely no evidence to that effect. None, zero. She's terrible at this, okay? And you can see with your own eyes. So who are you gonna trust, us or the mainstream media? Well, you just saw that interview. The first time I watched it, I was like, the kids, 250,000 versus 10 billion. What the hell is she talking about? She never clarified what she was talking about, and I was totally confused. And she's mumbling, stumbling, something about kids and money. Make a clear point and be aggressive. So say, look, we're trying to get $10 billion to the states. Why? Because we've got X number of hungry kids. They offer $250,000. That's not going to feed the kids. This is what Donald Trump has done throughout his career. Puts the kids in the cages. Now he's saying, no, I won't give money. Make a forceful case so it brings the Republicans to the table. It's not just for theatrics. It's because that is how you negotiate. But she goes out there and at the end, thoughts and prayers. Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, you know, because she's operating, and you're going to notice this in the next video that we show, she's operating in, 1990s politics, where you have like your talking points. All right, I'm going to pray. I'm going to do the prayer. I'm going to mention the hungry children. And, you know, Americans aren't paying attention. That'll work. But no, it doesn't work. And she's being clowned right now by level-headed people. I'm not talking about like DC establishment types. I'm talking about average Americans who are like, what is she talking about? I don't need her prayers. And here is another video from the weekend proving my point.
I understand that the president's executive action doesn't do all the things you want, but having no bill at all, not coming to any agreement, wasn't going to provide any of the things that you want either. You're known as a master negotiator, but didn't you mess this one up? Because you talk about all the things that the president's bill, let me just finish if I may, Speaker. Now, because there's no deal at all, cities and states won't get any money. There's no money for the post office. There's no money for hospitals. There's no money for state boards of election. You knew that the president was threatening to take this executive action. I understand that you weren't going to get everything you wanted and didn't get everything you wanted, but should you have cut a deal? And are you ready to go back into talks to try to come up with a fuller package?
Well, clearly you don't have an understanding of what is happening here, both in the weakness of the president's executive orders, which don't give the money to enhance benefit, but put the complicated formula there, which will take a while, if at all, to accomplish, to put money in the pockets of the American people. Well, we have said we're going to honor our heroes, state and local, healthcare workers, et cetera, first responders, teachers, and the rest, and that's part of our argument is how much are they willing to do? Secondly, we're going to stop the If I allowed you to finish, you'll allow me to finish. They're going to let's open our economy by addressing the virus, which the president has ignored for months now, to do the right thing, scientifically based. And third, let's put money in the pockets of the American people. So what the president did doesn't even accomplish what he sets out to do in the categories he did.
So that was tough. That was tough to get through. And she did release a press release, giving us some details about what Democrats are going to do as the opposition party here to provide the benefits that people desperately need right now. Dated August 9th, 2020, Cenk. And it says, dear Democratic colleague, on this Sunday morning, as we pray for the American people, I wanted to share a responsive prayer for justice. Pray for those who are hungry. Pray harder for those who will not feed them. Pray for those who struggle each week to pay their bills. Pray harder for the wealthy who do not care. Like the most powerful person in the House of Representatives. I pray for you, Nancy Pelosi. I pray for you.
Yeah. Okay, this is why AOC and Rashida Tlaib and other just Democrats are lighting the country on fire, because they can actually form sentences and people understand them. They make clear cases. They make strong cases. What the hell was that? I'm sure soon she's going to start calling herself a master communicator, and every kiss-ass media person in Washington is going to bow down and be like, oh, master communicator, Nancy Pelosi. Okay, no. That was ridiculous what she just did there. What the hell was point number two? We want to reopen the economy by addressing the coronavirus. What is that? What are you talking about? What is that? What are you trying to say? No, she's terrible at this. Terrible. So, okay, look, we don't just do Monday morning quarterback. Constructive critique. What should she have said to Chris Wallace? Hey, Chris, do you acknowledge, based on your own framing of your own question, that the Republicans are holding the states hostage, the post office hostage, and every single person that you mentioned hostage by saying, I don't want to give them money. The Democrats are trying to give the American people the money they need for relief in the middle of a pandemic. Chris, be honest with your audience and tell them right now, which is the party that is holding up the money. Don't tell me that, hey, while I'm fighting for more money for the American people, that I deserve blame because I couldn't break the Republicans enough. Chris, do you want me to break the Republicans? Because I would love to do that so we can get money to the American people. Chris, tell the audience who's denying the money, Trump and the Republicans. That's how you answer. What was that? No one listening to that interview thought, Democrats, they know what they're doing. Oh my God, the Democrats are on the side of the American people and the Republicans are ripping us off. No one thought that because she sucks at communicating.
We got to take a break, but when we come back, we have an update on the Georgia high school that attempted to censor students who were telling the truth about their crowded hallways and lack of social distancing. We'll be right back.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Hey, I'm Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Real quick, let's go to our members. Ricky Pizicki writes in, watching Kudlow reminds me of one of Phil Hartman's absurd, bumbling characters, except it's real. Great call, good callback to Phil Hartman. TYT.com/join to become a member. And let me read you just a couple of YouTube super chats as well. Three Exoteric writes in, blackmailing voters. Wait, so he's giving every American $1,200 debt due beginning of next year, then offering to forgive it if we vote for him. WTF, that's an excellent point. America is a second world country, writes in. If Trump gets away with this, imagine all the good in the world Bernie Sanders could have done for the entire planet. He could have bypassed everyone. I was saying the same thing, but I'll tell you, of course, as you know, there's no way they would have let Bernie Sanders do executive orders. The minute he started doing ones that actually help American people, they would have been like, executive orders? Nobody's ever done them before. Bush didn't do them. Obama didn't do them. Trump didn't do them. They would have made up a whole new standard, okay? And everyone in the Washington media would have totally lied through their teeth about it. So just keep it real on how it would have gone down. Anyways, we got a lot more. Anna, what's next?
All right. Well, an update on a story that we talked about last week. The Georgia high school that made headlines last week for suspending two students who had posted viral images of crowded halls in their school has now actually decided to switch to online learning for obvious reasons. Take a look.
This weekend, the principal of that school told families that at least six students and three staff members have tested positive. And now, another 24 hours later, we're seeing this letter from the superintendent saying Monday and Tuesday, they're going all virtual so the entire campus can be disinfected so that they can have time to consult with the public health department on what to do next.
So I want to remind you all of what that one of those viral images looked like. This was posted on Twitter. Hannah Waters is the 15-year-old student who shared that image because she was concerned about the lack of social distancing in her Georgia school. And she was right to be concerned about the lack of social distancing because people have contracted the virus. Now, after there was backlash, the school decided to reverse the suspensions. But it really doesn't matter at this point. No one's going to be in class today. No one was in class today because of the fact that they had to switch to online learning immediately because of a coronavirus outbreak, because they didn't social distance.
Yeah. So if the original order was, oh, yeah, you're suspended and are not allowed to come into school, bit of a win. Right. So look, guys, the school reopenings are a complicated issue. In places like New York and New Jersey, where the virus is way, way down, there is an argument to be made that you theoretically could go in. But the problem is some people are going to get it, especially in places where the numbers are still high, Georgia, Texas, Arizona, California, et cetera. And when they inevitably get it, like happened in this particular school, six people, three, and more importantly, three staffers, because staffers are older and more likely to honestly pass away from it. So what are you going to do? Be like, oh, whatever, keep going? No, you're going to pull them back. Everybody's going to pull them back. Why? The parents are going to flip out, and let alone the teachers. Like, even if you crush the teachers, the parents are not going to send their school kids to a school that is infected. It's just not going to happen. So this is trying to reopen the schools as much as some people want to, it's just not realistic. And so the idea that, by the way, the kids can't get it pushed by Donald Trump is a complete and utter lie. The fact that it doesn't affect them as much is true, but not completely true, as you're about to see. We're going to give you more facts on that.
Right. So recently, we shared some new data showing that some children do suffer some pretty serious neurological issues if they contract the virus. But we're also learning that children do also contract the virus at a higher rate than what was previously thought. So new analysis shows that more than 97,000 children in the United States tested positive for coronavirus in the last 2 weeks of July alone. In those 2 weeks, there was a 40% increase in child cases across the states and cities that were studied. And also at least 86 children have died since May, and that's according to a new report. Last week, a 7-year-old boy, for instance, with no pre-existing conditions, became the youngest coronavirus victim in Georgia. In Florida, two teenagers died earlier this month, bringing the state's death toll of minors to 7. And you know, there's a lot of misinformation, I think, on purpose, on conservative news outlets like Fox News, which would explain why Ainsley Earhart seems to be so shocked at this recent data involving children. She talked to a health expert about it, and let's just take a quick look at that exchange.
We're all worried about sending our kids back to school. What is that going to look like for our country and for our elderly grandparents and things like that? 97,000 kids have tested positive. That was such a shock to me because I had heard kids really don't get it. If they do, they're all going to be okay. Do you know any details about that?
So the health expert was actually great. So all her answers were right. But the best part about that video, which is what we showed you, is just how like shocked Ainsley Earhart is, right? Because she genuinely seemed shocked by this. She genuinely thought like, no, everything's totally fine with kids. I believe the president, they're not spreading this virus. It's totally safe to reopen the schools. But no, you know, your favorite president is lying to you and doesn't actually care about your well-being or the well-being of your children.
Now, look, the Trump's followers are as stupid as you thought they were. Fox News hosts are as stupid as you thought they were. Trump said that kids are almost immune, almost definitely immune from this. No, they're not. That's not remotely true. But idiots like Ainsley Earhart is like, well, if Trump said it, it must be true. All right, let's throw our kids right into it, right? No, kids can get it from day one. That has been crystal clear. They are not at all immune from it. They could definitely get it. But it is also true that it does not affect them as severely as older people. So give context to the 86 kids who died. Some of them have pre-existing conditions. It is really depressing and alarming to see some of them did not have pre-existing conditions. Now, having said that, 86 is a very small number in a country of 330 million people. So any kid who dies is a tragedy beyond comprehension, okay? But I'm giving you the full context. At the same time, this idea that they like that they're pushing out there, what's the big deal? Let's just reopen the schools. It's wrong on several counts. Like I said, they can get it. But more importantly, once they get it, even if you think 86 is a low number of deaths for kids, obviously, they could pass it on to their parents, their grandparents, to the teachers. That's what we've always been worried about. But the Ainsley Earharts of the world, like, oh my God, I didn't know they could get it. Is it true that they could pass it on? Yes, of course it's true. And that's what we've been worried about from day one.
Yeah, and you know, so the United States in terms of the transmission of this virus is the worst country. Coming in at number two is Brazil. And some new data says that the United States topped 5 million reported infections over the weekend. And at least 162,938 people have died since the start of the pandemic, more than any other country in the world. And I want to note that unfortunately, as high as those numbers are, it is likely an underestimate because there are some states that are fudging with the numbers, that aren't reporting things accurately. And it's something to keep in mind. You know, if you're alarmed at these numbers, you should be. But even more unfortunate is these numbers are an underestimate of where this country is with the virus. All right, our postgame show is next. Ben Shapiro recites rap lyrics. That's a lot of fun. TYT.com/join to become a member, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.